The Boston Celtics win their ninth straight game after a shootout win over the Washington Wizards. I've got what's good, what's bad, what's next for the team. Plus, I'll let you hear everything Gordon Hayward had to say about his injury. It's the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Thursday, getting to it. Boston Celtics win again, ninth in a row. 9-1 on the season. Best team in the NBA, undefeated at home after a shootout, let's call it, 140-133. Completely no defense played in this game win over the Washington Wizards. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. And I am on my way to San Francisco. I might be on a plane by the time you listen to this for a very tough road trip for the Boston Celtics. It's tough because it's their first real extended long West Coast swing. They play Golden State, Sacramento, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Denver Nuggets. A couple of those teams, not so great. And you'd think, hey, this would be a couple of easy wins for the Celtics. Not so much. When they're not guaranteed anything. Sacramento has won a game without De'Aaron Fox, without Marvin Bagley. There's nothing guaranteed on the road. And the Celtics are heading to the road after a tough win. It was a game that they could just never pull away. They could not stop anybody, especially not Bradley Beal, who was dropped 44 points on the night and was just un-freaking-stoppable in this game. The Celtics had a lead of as much as 16 points, and in the fourth quarter, a lead of almost of 16 points. But Bradley Beal kept them in it. They just give it to the Wizards, man. They just wouldn't quit. And maybe that was helped by the Celtics unable to stop them, but they never rolled over. They could have. There was a stretch where they, you know, you might argue that they should have, but they didn't. So credit to them. Rui Hachimura had a nice game for them. He chipped in 21. Our boy Isaiah Thomas had 18 points and 7 assists. He didn't look great throughout the whole thing. He was a The Celtics picked on him a little bit. That's not a surprise. But it was a nice offensive game from him. On the Celtics side, very spread out type of offense. Kemba Walker, who hit some big shots late in the game, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Jason Tatum, 23 points. He did most of his damage early. Jaylen Brown did most of his damage late, 22 points for him. Both of those guys shot over 45%. Kemba was at 47%. Carson Edwards shot 7 of 12 off the bench, 4 of 5 from three for a nice 18-point, 3-assist night. Brad Wanamaker chipped in with 10. He didn't look great early on, but he made up for it in the second half. The Celtics got some decent minutes from guys off of their bench, but inevitably they just could not defend. Well, they gave up a ton at the rim. The points in the paint numbers were insane. Washington, 64 points in the paint. Boston had 50, but 64 points in the paint for Washington. Regardless of whether you have Daniel Theis or not, whether you have Gordon Hayward or not, giving up 64 points in the paint is just brutal, bad. After the game, Brad Stevens said that they do have capable defenders. They just weren't playing very well. They weren't defending well at all. You can say that maybe they cleaned up in the second half, but they gave up 67 points in the second half, just like they gave up 66 in the first half. So they just struggled. Jaylen Brown took some responsibility. Jaylen Brown early on was kind of out of sorts. It felt like he was pretty good about recovering. I mean, that's kind of what you need when you start off slowly. He was making some, I'll say, uncharacteristic mistakes for this season. He almost kind of returned to the Jaylen Brown of last year. He had one offensive foul where he was completely out of control on a drive. And I turned to Tom Westerholm and I said that. I thought he was past that. That was old Jaylen. To be fair, that's going to happen. Like, every once in a while you make a bad play. I'm not crapping on the guy for it. It's just, it was a kind of reminiscent of the old way that he played. And I think really the Celtics' biggest struggle defensively in this was they couldn't defend the rim. And you can say that's because Enes Kanter was there, and you can see why Daniel Theis is the starting center for the Boston Celtics and why Kanter is better off of the bench for Boston. You see how much Daniel Theis kind of impacts the defense for the Boston Celtics. And with Kanter out there, they really, really just struggle to defend the rim. Kanter will have his moments against big kind of back you down kind of guys. Kanter's a strong, big, strong guy. So any kind of back to the basket guy, he'll get a crack at. And will be fine in those situations defensively. Not great, but fine. But in these kind of situations where a lot of movement, there's a lot of pick and roll, and that's the knock on Kanter. Like, when we talked yesterday about guys being at or above expectations, this is what you expect out of Enes Kanter. He had a nice night, 4 of 5. He had 4 offensive rebounds, 9 rebounds overall, 13 points, a couple of assists. He made his free throws, 5 of 6. He was who Enes Kanter is. You know, that's his game. What we saw is exactly what you needed. And he goes back to the preseason expectations of this team. And I said for sure, if you're going to start Enes Kanter, and I just kind of assumed that Enes Kanter was going to be the starter, you're going to have to outscore teams. And that's going to be the Celtics' MO. You're going to have to go out there, and you will be able to outscore teams because Kanter is a good offensive player. And with all of these other good offensive players, you can do that. And that's basically what it came down to with the Boston Celtics in this game. They took a team that has this potential, especially behind Bradley Beal, to go out there and put up points in a hurry. And they had to outscore them. They had to outgun them. And they just never could pull away. They never could kind of get those stops. You can say a lot about why. Again, obviously, they were down without Gordon Hayward, Daniel Theis, Robert Williams. Those are good defenders in their spots, in their moments, in their roles. But without those guys, you still shouldn't have the exact kind of lapses the Celtics had. As I was saying, the inability to defend the rim, what we saw a lot of in this game were two guys kind of running out of the same defender, at the same shooter, and that's just a sign of a team completely in rotation. A guy gets beat, there's no defense at the rim, everybody kind of scrambles to help, and the passes get made, and guys are wide open, and two guys see a guy in the corner shooting, and they both fly out at him. That's when you know the defense isn't bad, it isn't good, it's bad, it's not connected. Brad, after the game, said, I'm going to kind of consider this an anomaly. And unless it's not, you know, like, they're going to hit the road And they're going to bring Tice with them and Robert Williams. Those guys are going on the road trip. Only Gordon Hayward's not going to go on the road trip. So there's a good chance those guys can play, and that'll help. But right now, you're going to consider this defensive effort an anomaly. But if they put the same effort forth against Golden State and Sacramento, if you have two or three defensive kind of duds in a row, then you have to wonder, like, what's happening here? Nothing of a big concern now, but when a team comes into the season as a perceived bad defensive team, and they've bucked that trend early on, and now here we are in game 10, and that kind of shows up again. Oh, all right. Yeah, they were hurt, but well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So when I come back, more from the game, and then later on, Gordon Hayward on his injuries. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics next.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's funny to come out of a win and focus on negative things, but this was a game where they made obvious mistakes. But good things happened. They put up 140 points, and they've been scoring a lot lately. This offense is going to be, I mean, they were, what, fifth coming in? Their offense is going to, certainly their offensive rating is going to take a nice little jump because of that. And the best part about their offensive performance is they moved the ball around. They ended up with 32 assists on the night on 49 makes, which is very good. And the assists came all over the place. Wanamaker had 5. Kemba, Smart also have 5, both of them. Jalen and Jason had 4 apiece. 3 for Poirier, 2 for Kanter, passing out of the post, high post. Grant Williams added 1. So they got the ball moving. And again, going back to the points of the paint, the Celtics had 50 of them as well. And they managed to get to the rim. And even in those situations where they didn't score, you know, drive and kick situations, they were able to get baskets. A few of those points in the paint came off of putbacks for Enes Kanter. The Celtics ended up with 15 second chance points, outscoring Washington by 9 in that category. So you can look at that category alone as a situation where the Celtics won the game on second chance points. But the points in the paint, getting the ball in there, kicking it out, the Celtics shot 16 of 36 from 3, which is fantastic at 44%. That's really great. Even though Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum struggled, Marcus Smart, 4 of 8 from 3. I mean, Marcus Smart was just, again, 17 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He was brilliant in this game. He had a situation where in the second quarter, he had 2 blocks at the rim. Then later on, hit a couple of threes to give the Celtics early leads. He was Marcus Smart. And this year's Marcus Smart is playing so differently because he is shooting the 3 a whole lot more. I mean, you look at his per game in this year, he's shooting almost 7 per game now, 6.7 threes per game. He's never shot more than 4.6. So he's taking 2.5 more than he did last year. He's taking and he's making them at a higher clip. After this game, he's now up to almost 39% shooting from 3. So Marcus Smart, almost 39% shooting from 3 at 6.7 3-point attempts per game. Pretty nice. And he's taking fewer twos. It's a little bit of a different Marcus Smart. His assists are kind of up a little bit. His turnovers are way down. They cut him in half. So he's averaging less than a turnover per game. I mean, he's really playing an efficient style of basketball. I think because he's got the ball in his hands a lot, he's able to make the right play and not force things. It's really nice to see how Marcus Smart is playing in this game. Again, 4 of 8 from three. Wow. Jeez. The only thing you can say is his free throws are down, but he's still that you don't need him to get to the line. Let somebody else do that. He's catching and shooting, and he's making himself a threat. Marcus Smart on the floor as a threat. Now you can't help off of him. That gives Kemba more room to cook. Kemba hit half of his threes. He was 6 of 12. Also got to give a shout out to Carson Edwards, who was the fourth quarter hero in this game, along with Jason Tatum. Fourth quarter, Carson Edwards, 4 of 7, 2 of 3 from 3, 10 points off the bench in the fourth quarter alone to go with his 18 points. I knew that the first three that he hit, you can tell, sometimes you just can kind of tell when a guy's shooting the ball wrong, and he was forcing. I don't want to say forcing, but I feel like sometimes he moves a little too fast, shoots a little too fast. He hit a corner three, and I knew, like, before it went in, I was like, oh, that's money. And you could just kind of tell the way he followed through, the way the pace of the shot, it felt good. It, like, looking at it, it looked like it felt good. Once that went down, you know that a shooter like Carson Edwards has the potential to start getting hot. You just need one to fall from three, and you feel it. And he felt it. And that fourth quarter, like I said, he had 7.5 huge, huge minutes in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was kind of the reason why the Celtics built that 16-point lead. His three-point shooting was the catalyst for that. And then Jason Tatum kind of took over and finished things off. And Kemba had he only had one three in the fourth quarter, but that was kind of like a huge one with a minute. I want to say it was like a minute 7 on the clock or so. That kind of iced it. So nice performances all around here. And again, Jaylen Brown in the second half, after missing his first 5 shots, finished 9 of 19. So after missing his first 5, he was 9 of his next 14, which is fantastic. I mean, that's how you bounce back. And Tatum, after shooting 1 of 18 in the last game, his first half, he was 7 of 13. And he cooled off a little bit in the second half before picking back up in the fourth quarter. But nice to see bounce backs. And Kemba said it after the game. It's all about the bounce back. You're going to have bad shooting nights in this league. It's going to happen. Everybody's going to go and have a 10% kind of game, a 20% kind of game. That's no one in the NBA is immune from that kind of shooting. It's about the bounce back. And mentally, it's hard to go through a game like that and just forget about it. Now, Tatum went to the practice facility after that game and shot, and Brad Stevens talked about, like, the mentality and just the work that goes into getting past. You just come in the next day and you put the work in, and you just got to trust that you're good enough. Your history tells you you're good enough to come out and hit shots. And Tatum did, and came out hot. And I think maybe some of it was the duel with his St. Louis guy, Bradley Beal. They went at it a little bit. And but, you know, kudos to them for bouncing back. That's important stuff. It's important for in-game bounce back. Jaylen Brown in the past has gotten in his own head. He's talked about that. He talked about it with Jay King, who wrote about it on The Athletic, that in the past he's let the, you can call it anxiety or whatever it was, but on the floor, he said, I have a tendency to overthink games. And that beginning to the game, the 0 for 5, in the past, would be the beginning of the end for Jaylen Brown in that game. You could see it in the past when he would put his head down. He just kind of, like, be in his own world. Some of that happened in this game. He started off slow and he had defensive lapses and he let a bad rebound early in the game kind of go right over his head. And Brad kind of like got on him a little bit about that. But it's all about the bounce back, and he bounced back. And that's that may be one of the more impressive things about his season. Like the second half of this game where he shot 8 of 13, that's super impressive. I know it's against the Wizards, but when your history tells you that this is how it's going to go and you kind of buck that trend, that's a nice bounce back. That's enough about this game. Celtics, again, hit the road. Thursday's a travel day. Friday, it's Golden State in the new Chase Center in San Francisco. And they'll be tested on this road trip. We'll kind of see a little bit about what these guys are made of on this road trip. I know 9-1, you say, hey, that's 10 games. We know what they're made of, but you really don't yet. And that's okay to have tests along the way. This is going to be, they still face the Clippers and the Nuggets and the Suns. The Suns are playing very well. So three tough games. And, you know, if the Celtics have a 3-game losing streak, you're going to hear a lot of that. Oh, okay. All right. It was the schedule. That's what did it. So they'll have to go out and they'll have to play hard to get those wins. Coming up next, Gordon Hayward. Hear him from his own words, in his own words, about his injury recovery and how he's feeling about it. It's next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. If you like books but you don't have time to read them, go to Audible. They have the largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment, including Audible Originals. Those are stories created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else. Audible keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. You'll finish more stories when you listen with Audible and always be part of the conversation. With the convenient Audible app, you can listen anytime, anywhere, on any device, mobile, Alexa-enabled, Bluetooth, and more. You can listen at the gym, while you're shopping, in the car, traveling like I'm going to do. Anytime you can't read, you can listen with Audible. And Audible members get more than ever before. Every month, you can choose one audiobook regardless of price, as well as two Audible Originals from a fresh selection. Members stay motivated and inspired with unlimited access to exclusive guided fitness and meditation programs. Sign up for free updates from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, delivered daily in the app. Audible members can easily exchange any title that they don't love at any time. You can keep your library of listens forever, even if a member cancels. So start your 30-day trial and choose one audiobook and two Audible Originals absolutely free. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one Audible, two Audible Originals free by visiting audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. There are some great Celtics books on there. Dynasty's End, which is about Bill Russell and the 68-69 World Champion Celtics. The Russell Rules, 11 Lessons on Leadership by Bill Russell. Or Let Me Tell You a Story, which is by Red Auerbach. It's his own story about his lifetime in the game. All of those are available on audible.com, and you can get your 30-day trial at audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. Gordon Hayward arrived at the TD Garden with a nice, pretty stickered splint on his left hand, which was decorated by his daughters. If you see, if you follow his wife on Instagram, you saw the story about his daughters decorating the splint. It's very, very cute. And he talked about that. He talked about his injury, which was kind of confusing to him, and the recovery. I'm going to let you hear the whole thing from Gordon Hayward, his entire 6-minute back and forth with the media about his injury. So here it is.
Hey, Gordon. How you doing? How hard is this for you personally after the great start you've had and you were in such great rhythm?
Yeah, it's frustrating. There's no doubt about it. Felt like we were building some good momentum as a team, as well as me individually. So timing of it, definitely frustrating. But, I think with, all things considered, I think it's not that bad and should be healed up pretty nicely pretty soon. So happy for that.
When you initially happened, was there some concern that it was going to be a longer-term thing, like when you were first?
Yeah, I think, you always think about the worst-case scenario, and certainly on the play, I didn't know exactly what happened, but I heard it and felt it and knew something immediately was wrong, and that's kind of why I signaled, like, let's go check this out. And then it's hard to know, like, after looking at the x-ray, like, it was clear as day that it was broken. It's just nowadays you don't know what that necessarily means, and it all depends on where the break is and how long it can be. So just like I said, happy that relatively got good news and it shouldn't be that long. So
yeah, Gordon, how much does it help that it is your offhand and not your shooting hand?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll help once we get closer towards playing for sure. I think you have the amount of time it takes for the bone to be healed, and then after that you kind of have the like pain tolerance, can you play with it, work through it type phase. And so certainly with that phase it'll be better that it is on my left hand, my non-dominant hand. So I think that helps for sure.
The team said 6 weeks. What is the prognosis for, how before you can do any sort of basketball activities?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll take it, as cliche as it sounds, take it day by day and week by week. And it's one of those things where once the bone is healed, then it's kind of like how much can you tolerate and how well does my body handle with the swelling, and kind of how well it takes ramping up activities and doing different basketball things. So, honestly, looking at the plan that we kind of set up today and just kind of attacking each day. And like I said, hopefully we'll be back sooner rather than later.
Is there a pin situation?
A pin?
Do they have to put pins in
or
anything?
Yeah, they put a pin and a plate in there, but that supposedly makes it stronger and makes it heal faster. So I think that's a good thing this time around. Yeah.
Could you identify the artist behind the work of art that is on your hand?
We've got Charlotte Hayward and Bernadette Hayward. Some of my favorite things: puppies, unicorns, rainbows. I try to get them to not use purple and go with some green, but they're pretty adamant about some of the colors that they picked. So I guess an artist is going to be an artist.
Gordon, everything's kind of relative for people, and going through what you had to go through prior, does this almost seem like, hey, this is relatively cake?
Yeah, it's dropping a bucket for sure. Like I said, just happy that it shouldn't be that long. Obviously frustrated. I mean, it sucks watching and not being able to go out there and play, and especially with the start that we've had. But, this time around, I'll be able to run around, use my legs, still maintain my conditioning, which I'm very thrilled about, and then be around the team too and kind of stay involved, which is good.
Gordon, the play, you said it was kind of a strange play. You reached out and felt Aldridge. Did you fracture your hand on the first contact or the second? Because he hit you again.
Right, yeah. I've watched the play, and when you watch it in slow motion, it's like, what happened? Like, I don't even think anything should have happened. It doesn't look like it's that bad at all. I think it must have been initially, I think I must have hit him like here or something, and the force kind of just traveled through and then broke right in there. I mean, that's my guess. I don't know. It was one of those two where I don't think LaMarcus knew he was trying to screen. I think he was trying to post up, and then he kind of just DeJounte drove it, and he kind of just was in the way, and we ran into each other. So, you know, it was just a random play. And sometimes that's basketball, you know. Sometimes that happens. So I don't know exactly when it happened, but it was certainly that play. So.
Do you know how long you'll be in the actual cast for?
I'm not in a cast, which is great. It's just a splint. So I can take it off. I take it off. I've taken it off already to do my exercises. And, you know, you're trying to keep as much motion as you can in it. And hopefully, I think Friday I'll be able to, you know, clean the dressing and kind of move on from some of the initial parts of it. So that's good.
Brad was talking about some follow-up stuff. Is that kind of the main stuff it is in terms of redoing the dressing?
Right. Yeah, just following up from with the surgeon in New York and making sure that everything initially is good, which it has been so far, and I plan that it will be. And like I said, then after that, you change the sutures, and then you can really start kind of sweating with it and getting going.
Sounds to me like Gordon is optimistic, just like Brad Stevens is optimistic about his recovery. They're still sticking with the 6 weeks. Like I said, I feel like that's the high end of the spectrum, but no one's going to say anything less because they don't want to change people's expectations. So 6 weeks it is, and then it once they get to the bone being healed, bone can be healed in 4 weeks. Like, that's just medical. 4 to 6 weeks for a bone to heal is normal. So if it happens on the 4-week end, then he goes through the next phase, as he said, and pain tolerance, and can he play with that? So I wouldn't be surprised if it's 4 weeks. It could be 5. It could be 6. Maybe after 6, they say he needs more time. That's all possible stuff. But just reading the attitude, reading the tea leaves here, everybody seems confident and everybody seems good that this is going to heal and be fine. And Hayward's very happy that he can run and jump and do all that other stuff with his hand and kind of stay in shape and be around the team. I think that's the big thing, just being around the team and not being isolated like his last recovery. So good luck to Gordon Hayward on that. I am off to San Francisco for the Celtics road trip. I'll give you a podcast when I get there. So, I don't know, timing's off on the West Coast, but there will be podcasts throughout it all. I'm here for you Monday through Friday. Even through all of this travel, I will be here with my share of guests from the road. So, if you're a new listener, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you subscribe. You can give us a 5-star rating and a good written review on iTunes. If you are a subscriber, please do that. It helps me out quite a bit because it really raises the profile of the show. And share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.